Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Tig.
I've missed you.
I've missed you so much.
All right, let's stop all the lies and let's get this show started. This is Don't Ask Tig. I'm Tig Notaro, and you're asking and asking and asking. Repeatedly.
We are not alone and nobody is hopeless. Everybody goes to shit. We got a friend in Tig. Yeah.
Today I have my friend, the very funny Cheryl Hines.
Tig!
Cheryl.
Are we gonna give lots of advice to people who need answers about...
Well, yeah, I mean, you're here to solve all problems that everyone has.
I feel I'm so ready for this.
I know you are, and that's why I called on you.
Thanks.
Cheryl.
Yes?
There's going to be some compliments I'm going to give you, and I'm going to have to do it with a straight face.
I know, it's painful.
Well, you know what? I think... You know, when you started to have this problem with my children, it started to make me have a problem with you. And I've sent you.
I was just keeping you grounded because everybody thinks their kids are so cute. And I'm just like.
I've sent you hundreds of pictures.
Yeah, I know.
You've met them in person and still.
They're fine. Nothing. They're okay.
Okay. Well, and that's why this part is hard for me to say. And it's that not only are you a talented actor, you're also a poker ace. And you've actually won money.
I have.
And do you feel like playing poker has taught you any lessons for real life?
Yes.
Ooh, please.
Well, I can tell you this. One of the things that they say about women poker players is when they play with their jewelry, like their necklace, they haven't made their hand yet, but they're trying to make it. So it's interesting. So you can see when people are lying, if they're lying, a lot of times they try to self-soothe. So they'll touch their hair or they'll, you know, fix their collar.
Does this attract liars, this game?
Of course, yeah. You have to lie in poker. You can't only bet when you have a good hand because you'll never win. So you have to lie.
So are you a good liar? Is that what this is boiling down to?
Yeah, well...
Oh, sounds like you're a good liar.
I'm a good truth teller.
Oh, Cheryl. You're a regular on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's true.
And it's a show where characters often act very rudely, if we're honest about it.
Yeah.
And has that show made you think any differently about etiquette or manners?
You know what's awful? This is sad. I was in a department store, and this older lady, very old.
What, like 60?
Like 70 plus. Like, yeah. 60. Like, she's probably like 80. Like, so, and she comes out of the stall and she has toilet paper hanging out of her pants. And I said, excuse me, you've got toilet paper hanging out of your pants. And she kind of...
To be fair, you've told me that too. And to also be fair, I've had it hanging out of my pants. But go ahead.
This woman, she couldn't twist any longer. So she tried to twist around, but she couldn't. And she said, oh, can you get it? So I said, no, I can't. And I ran out. But before Curb Your Enthusiasm, I probably would have made like oven mitts out of toilet paper and then gotten it for her.
Wait, why did Curb make you... say no?
Well, because I, until Curb, I didn't realize you could actually say no to people and still live through it.
But what gave you that? Is it just confidence or you just learn from
Larry?
From Larry.
Yeah, you just learn from Larry. You know, Larry, somebody will ask Larry if he wants to go to lunch and he'll say no. I didn't even know that was a possibility before Larry. I just thought, I said to Larry, I said, you know, most people would make up a lie and say, oh, yeah, but I can't do it on Wednesday. And he said, but why do that? That's even meaner.
See, I like that. That's my style. When I first met Larry, I tried to, you know, I didn't understand his personality and I thought maybe he got angry easily or something.
Uh-huh.
But I remember we were on the same show and I went into his green room to tell him that he was next up. And I just took the initiative and called him Lair Bear. And even though I had never met him, and I said, hey, Lair Bear, you're up next. And he was like, oh, okay. What do I, and I said, wait a minute. I said, are you fine with me calling you Lair Bear? He said, oh yeah, yeah, that's fine. I'm not known for my impressions, but, I was really surprised at how kind
easy
of
going.
Yeah. He's easygoing, but he's
sometimes
straightforward.
Yes.
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 I'm not saying he is an angel like Cheryl Hines.
Right, right.
You are kind of an angel,
kind
Cheryl.
Of an angel. Kind of an angel.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
You are. It's really something.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of off track,
yeah.
But what makes you mad? Like, where could we see? I have not seen you. I've seen you push to your limit on, you and I worked on something years ago, and I saw you push to your limit in certain areas. Mm. And I still didn't see you snap in that famous Hollywood diva type
Ooh,
way.
Have I snapped on set? I don't think I've ever snapped on set. And I've worked with some cuckoo birds.
Yeah. See, that's the most you'll get from you.
Yeah.
They were a cuckoo bird. I think when you were pushed so far to your limit, when I've seen it, is you start laughing really hard,
yeah.
because it becomes crazy.
It's so ridiculous. Life is so ridiculous sometimes. It's not even worth getting upset about. I mean, once in a while. I got mad the other day because I shouldn't tell people this, but my husband, he's a little Bobby Kennedy Jr. He has a real way with animals that's very, it's sort of magical, and most people cannot do what Bobby does with animals. So now twice recently when he goes hiking, he has caught a rattlesnake barehanded for no reason other than to catch the rattlesnake and show it off and then let it go.
Were you with him?
No, because that would really make me crazy. But then we had our nieces and nephews over, and the first thing he does is shows them, you know, 2 and 4 years old, the video of him catching the rattlesnake.
Oh, Bobo.
It just made me so mad. I had to walk away. When I get really mad,
yeah.
I have to take a knee. I have to walk away.
Oh, Cheryl, I would hate to see you in that state. You're saying you get so mad you walk away.
Listen, you don't want
and maybe call someone a cuckoo bird. I think I've made my point.
I was furious.
Well, you know, I was in Australia once and I didn't know kangaroos were dangerous.
Oh.
And I was with my friend Kate McCucci, and we had heard that kangaroos gathered in this one area of a golf course. And so we decided to spend the day heading over there and go hang out and play with kangaroos.
Cute.
And so she's filming me. And I'm like getting in the middle of kangaroos I've been in Australia for 3 weeks, have not heard once that they kill people. And so there's footage of me. Right. And so I'm in the middle of them and I'm kind of, you know, imitating them. And there's this kangaroo that's twice my size staring me down. And I still don't know I'm in trouble. Okay. And then one comes running past me at 100 miles an hour, and it scares the other kangaroo off. And Kate, you just hear the video of her saying, oh, geez, Tig, as the kangaroo runs by. And we leave with this funny tape, and we go and meet up with a friend that's a local.
Yeah.
Who explains how I almost essentially got disemboweled. That's what they do is they pin you down with their little arms and then they kick your guts out. And I too thought it would be funny if one day my Wikipedia page, if you look me up, said there was a title that said The Disembowelment of Tig Notaro. You click on that and it talks about how I was in Australia and got my intestines kicked out.
My sister and I have a pact. If we die from something funny, like it's okay when you tell people how they died to laugh about it. Because, you know, it's not funny, but I guess people die from coconuts falling on their head while they're at the beach. You're at the beach relaxing with the pina colada and a coconut falls on your head and you die.
Talk about a cartoon.
It happens.
Well, I would like to join this pact. If I die of something funny or something very sad,
no.
I still think it could be really funny if you drag it out. Yeah.
Okay. You can be in on it. I'll tell Becky, my sister. Yeah.
All right. I like for anything to end with, I'll tell Becky. I'm going to start saying that to everyone. After I finish any information or after anyone tells me something, I'm just going to end it with, okay, I'll tell Becky. Oh my God.
Oh boy. You boy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, boy. All right. Cheryl, are you ready to give some advice?
I'm so ready.
Question one comes from Jill.
Okay.
I have a crush on my boss, but we're both happily married to other people.
Yikes.
Sometimes I feel like I'm being weird. How do normal people interact with their bosses at work? Well, do you have an answer to this?
Well, you know, if you feel like you're being weird, then you are being weird. So let's just start. I don't know what she's doing around her boss that she's...
I think Jill knows this. I mean...
She acts weird when she's around her boss because she likes him.
Yeah. And it sounds like maybe he likes her. I can't tell. But either way, I think of when I was around my boss... when I worked at a production company, I bet that I could probably be taken for flirtatious because I was not interested in my boss, but I love making people laugh and like really getting in there with people. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine if my boss had a crush on me, she might have thought I had a crush on her. And if she's listening, I did not. Let's be clear. I did not. But I enjoyed making her laugh.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, you do meet people that you spark with.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good if you're married to somebody else to write it out. Like, it's going to pass. Probably. Uh-huh. This is probably because, listen, from what I know about psychology.
She knows nothing.
This woman is probably getting something from her boss that she doesn't get from her husband at home. So if he laughs at her jokes or if he, you know, makes her coffee or whatever he does, that's that.
You think she's that easily swayed? Somebody gave her a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
And now, really?
Yes. Have you... Maybe you don't experience this in your house, but have you never walked around your own home and people just, you don't show up on anybody's radar?
As Cheryl asks me this from her closet.
I'm just saying, if your home life, sometimes you get stuck in ruts and, you know, she needs to know she's getting some sort of attention from her boss that she probably isn't getting at home.
Okay.
Keep it in check.
Let it pass. Write it out.
Write it out. And, you know, let's not get crazy. It's my advice.
All right. Well, Jill, thanks for writing.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. You're going to get through this. This person has so many flaws that you don't even want to deal with and like open that can of worms and get involved with this lunatic. Yeah. All right. We have more questions after the break. Here comes the second question, Cheryl Hines.
I'm ready. I'm so ready. That was a hard one. I hope this one is not as hard.
I hope the same, Cheryl. It was really, really hard. Okay? You're allowed to laugh out loud. You're allowed to LOL. V writes, I'm a 28-year-old woman who works on a team of strong-minded men. I'm often talked over and talked down to. I know I have valuable things to say, but struggle getting the confidence to have my voice heard. Mm. Any advice? Mm. Ah, much easier. Much easier. You know, the first thing that comes to mind for me is I've certainly felt uncomfortable or intimidated in atmospheres where I don't feel like I'm at the top of my game or something. And that's not to say that's what you're going through, V. But I think when I experience that, what helps me is to kind of make an actual wedge and say, I have something to add to that. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes if you just start in saying, well, the guy might, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's exactly what you're saying. You can't be soft about it and use words like, well, maybe. I'm sort of thinking it's good to, you know, in the world of improv, we know that you always say yes to the person that just added information, and then you add more information to what they said. So people like to be heard and they like to be acknowledged. So if somebody says something that you do agree with, you say, I agree with that. I also think that X, Y, and Z.
But I also think giving it a beat to say, I agree with what you're saying, and just make that space for what you're about to say.
Yeah, I think that's a good advice.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Also, if there's anybody in your life, a woman who does this well, who can really, you know, get her point across in a group of people, watch that person and see how she does it. And, mm-hmm. and try to, you know, emulate how she does it. I find that very helpful in my life.
Mm-hmm. You know, it might be good to have a notepad and then after everything that somebody says, just say, okay, well, I'll tell Becky.
Or just bring Becky in on conference call and just be like, oh, Becky has some thoughts, but definitely don't say thoughts and feelings with this group because they are not going to, that they will dismiss.
What if she says things like, you're making my heart hurt?
You guys, I'm so, so sad when I'm sitting here listening to you. Yeah, you just,
what
you have to
I
be
hear
assertive.
You saying is this, and that in turn makes my heart hurt. V.
Good luck. No, be assertive.
Yeah, be assertive and create your wedge to get in there.
Yes.
And take a beat and just kind of make the room turn and listen to you and say, I have something I'd like to add to that. And then let everyone turn to you and then say what you have to say. Tell me if that doesn't work, all right? But also bring the notepad and say, all right, I'll tell Becky. So our next question, we're talking teeth, Cheryl.
Oh, this is right up my alley.
Yeah,
I got giant teeth.
You got some big old honkers in your mouth.
I know. People think they're fake and they're not. Why would I get them this big if I was picking them out? You know what I mean? I would pick out the biggest ones they had.
Why not? I mean, they're good looking teeth.
They're too big. They're fine. Listen, they're fine.
You don't like your teeth?
No, I don't. And as a matter of fact, Becky, mm-hmm. when
What did Becky?
When I had enough money that I was like, oh, I could, you know, take these teeth out and get veneers and something smaller. And Becky, my sister, said, I will never speak to you again if you do that.
Thank you, Becky.
So I didn't.
And what if you had died in that procedure getting tiny teeth? Becky and I would have laughed forever. Oh my God, we would have laughed at you. Oh my. So Cheryl passed away this morning during a procedure getting tiny teeth.
Getting tiny teeth. Yeah. See, that's part of the pact. You could have done that.
Okay. Micah writes,
okay,
how do you explain to a five-year-old that it is completely natural for the teeth in your head to fall out of your face?
Mm.
Here's what I think, okay, right off the bat.
Yeah.
You don't. And every time a tooth falls out, act shocked and horrified.
This never happens. This, yeah, this is only happening to you.
Yeah. You're alone. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm going to agree to disagree with you on this, Tig. I think it's better to downplay it. I think it's better to talk about the dog's teeth. When dogs are puppies, they have puppy teeth, and then they fall out and make room for big dog teeth. So it's just how things are done. It's not a big deal. It's what happens. But you know what I did when my daughter Kat was little? I was trying to scare her straight about brushing her teeth.
Oh.
So I said, let's look online and see what happens if you don't brush your teeth.
And you Google image and your teeth came up?
My teeth came up. She was like, Mom? No, it automatically takes you to, like, people who have done too much meth and their teeth are falling out or rotting out. Yeah. And it was, she burst into tears.
Cheryl?
She was
poor,
like,
cat.
I know. I was like, okay, this is extreme. I was just looking for some plaque buildup, but this is worst case scenario.
Good luck communicating with that five-year-old. Cheryl, our next question is about finding a sense of purpose.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of okay, O writes, I just moved from New York City, where I was starting my acting career, to a small town in Southern Virginia in a house that is a step up from camping.
Mm.
How can I bring a sense of importance to my life that has gone completely off track? Well.
Wow. Okay.
It sounds like O wishes O could be in New York City acting and having some success with that.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, O is in a small Southern town in Virginia, basically camping. That's jarring. It's very jarring. But go ahead. You understand this question.
I do, because even being in Los Angeles, trying to pursue an acting career, you know, when I was 30, I was a waitress here. I didn't have an agent. I didn't have I didn't have a refrigerator. I couldn't afford a refrigerator. I thought they came with apartments. They didn't. So I found myself asking that question, and I wrote a play and got my friends together and we performed the play. And I just realized, oh, it's not about reaching a certain goal. It was really about the art, if you will, of acting, of writing, of performing, easy as it is to say, but you can do it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you can do it anywhere, especially with the internet.
Yeah.
You know, you can be putting things out. You can see if there's any sort of local theater or acting groups or acting class, just someplace that you can connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that making your own thing is really good and not waiting for others.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what's incredible about this time right now in the world, is that people are becoming more self-sufficient and they're finding out their ability and their power. And it kind of sounds like, to be honest, that O is setting themselves up for a great story of where you came from.
That's true.
That you're essentially camping in Virginia after leaving New York City in the middle of a pandemic. Well, guess what? You made these videos, whether it's, you can make them on your own, but you can also learn editing and do scenes with somebody online or a friend of yours that's an actor and start putting them on a YouTube page or Instagram.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting story that I'm curious about.
Yeah, and even if you don't write something, do monologues from movies or TV shows and
get it out there.
Put yourself out there.
Yeah.
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 All right. Well, listen, before I let you go, Cheryl, there's one huge last problem we have to solve. And this is a new segment that nobody else has done.
Great.
Saved it for you.
Perfect.
It's called, and I named this myself.
Okay.
This segment is called Name That Thing.
With an A.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. That's how I talk. You know that. I like for people to call me Miss Thang. Okay, Cheryl, people were, as you know, they've been warned to not ask me for advice.
Yes.
But they did. Mm-hmm. And now they must face the consequences. Mm-hmm. This is a brand new segment.
Okay.
Name That Thing. And the rule, do not laugh. The rule is you have to use the name we come up with. All right.
Okay.
Today's Name That Thing is from Kathy, who wants a name for her pet. Kathy writes, my family and I are getting a male golden retriever puppy. Mm. Rather than a traditional dog name like Buddy or Charlie, we are drawn to full names based on real people or fictional characters. We want a name inspired by someone who is like a golden retriever. Wildly adored, good-natured, and lovable. Any ideas about a name for our puppy inspired by a real or fictional person? Now, before we name that thing, can we just note that Kathy does not realize that Charlie is actually a human name? And it's not a dog name.
Charlie. Charlie's cute. Charlie's a cute dog name, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my first thought,
Becky,
is Becky Hines. Dr. Becky Hines, by the way, she's a doctor. I would say my first thought is Winnie the Pooh.
I'm sorry, but Dr. Becky Hines?
Yes!
Is this dog's name? How could you possibly go with Winnie the Pooh when we're sitting here staring Dr. Becky Hines in the face?
Is it a guy dog? Who doesn't matter? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Dr. Becky Hines.
Is there a male Becky or Rebecca?
Well, my brother's name was Christopher Earl Hines, and when he went to school, for some reason he didn't know that we were just supposed to put your middle initial, so he wrote out Earl, but it cut off the L, so on his diploma it said Christopher Ear Hines. So maybe they're going Christopher Ear Hines or Dr. Becky Hines.
Okay, I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
Christopher Ear Hines, if it's a boy,
mm-hmm.
or Dr. Becky Hines, if it's a girl.
Mm-hmm, I think that's right.
I think it's so right.
Yeah.
All right. Kathy, our work here is done. Your dog will be named Dr. Becky Hines or Christopher Ear Hines.
Mm-hmm.
This is non-negotiable, okay? When you are calling this dog home, you must say the entire name. And when you bring the dog to the vet, you must write the entire. I mean, how excited are you to think of Dr. Becky Hines on this dog's paperwork at the vet? Gosh, that's good.
That's cute.
thanks for asking us to name that thing. And if you're interested, and do not laugh at this segment.
Name
it
that,
is not funny.
Name that thing.
We are helping people. And if you're listening and need something named, let us know at don'tasktig.org. And let me name that thing for you. Cheryl, thank you.
Thank you, Tig.
Thanks for coming on Don't Ask Tig. You are phenomenal.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like we did a lot of good.
Oh, we always do. That's why the Lord brought us together. We do a lot of good. Is there anything you want to plug?
Tig, I have a new podcast. Do you know anything about it?
I do. It's called Tig and Cheryl,
True Story. So we watch documentaries and then we talk about them.
Yeah, me and you.
Yeah.
We do it.
Every week.
If you liked any part of today's Don't Ask Tig, then you'll likely enjoy Tig and Cheryl, True Story. All right. You can send in your own questions at don'tasktig.org, and we might try to answer them on a future episode. You can write down your question, or you can send it to us as a voice memo. Again, don'tasktig.org to reach us with your questions. Cheryl?
Tig.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. We're out.
We are out.
We're out.
We're down and out.
So down and out.
If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to rate and review us. Don't Ask Tig is hosted by me, Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, Mary Knopf, and Tracy Mumford. Our editor is Phyllis Fletcher. Executive producer, Lauren D. Engineering and sound mixing by Eric Romani. Digital production by Christina Lopez. Talent booking by Rocky Benlulu Dubin. Our theme music is Friend and Tig by Edie Burkell and Kyle Crusham. And Listen to Your Heart by Edie Burkell. Special thanks to Hunter Seidman, Lily Kim, and Alex Schaffert. Our executive consultant is Dean Capello and Gobsmack Studios. Don't Ask Tig is a production of American Public Media. And of course, thank you, Dana, and I'll tell Becky.